Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Football for a fiver comes around again, but once more, the punters are left feeling shortchanged. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live from the Valley. On your Sunday evening, my name is Louis Mendes in the studio to help me look back at yesterday's 2-0 home defeat against Blackburn Rovers. Over on my right-hand side, a man who has survived Storm Dennis, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah?
I guess. Yeah.
Yesterday weren't much fun, was it?
Are you wishing the game was sort of called off?
It would have been nice. Yeah, I think I would have preferred that. But no, I'm all right. I'm all right.
And a man who's survived many storms in his years.
You know, I wonder where you was going.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Yeah, over on my left-hand side, Terry Smith, Hayden Intel.
I'm all right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
It's just another game where everybody thinks we're going to win and we don't.
Yeah. Anything lost to the storm?
No, I don't think so. No, I think the hair's still on and everything's all right, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's clinging on. Ish. Yeah. A bit like my receiver. I'm disappointed because my wall blew out. Not only did we lose yesterday, I got home to find that the storm had blown over my wall.
That does imply bad workmanship. I don't mind. Yeah. Did you put it up in
the first place? No, it wouldn't have stood this long if I had. so pretty bad day all round yesterday. So we'll look back at yesterday's 2-0 defeat against Blackburn Rovers. You'll be pleased to hear that we haven't got any highlights because there was something wrong with Valley Pass in the first half. And I had the decision of, do I want to use a Blackburn bias commentary and play that or just go without? And having listened to it, I was like, this didn't cheer me up in any way, so we'll go without it. So no highlights, but we'll talk about the game. Of course, we'll hear from Lee Bowyer, have his views on yesterday's performance. We want to know what you guys made of it as well. You can get in touch with this evening, so you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life Forum to have your say. There's a thread on there for this evening's show. Let us know what you made of the performance. Anyone you thought stood out, good or bad? Were there any other disappointments from yesterday? Was it your first game for a while? Did you take advantage of the Football for a Fiver offer? Was it your first one that you've seen for a little while? And will you be coming back after seeing that? Anything like that, let us know how you're feeling about the relegation battle as well. It's going to be topsy-turvy, as we know, until the end of the season. Anything you want to say, get in contact with this evening's show. And towards the end, we've got the final of our little sequence of interviews we've had from the 80s night, the other night. Another Charlton legend, a man who's been in and around the club for 35 years now, Bob Boulder, spoke to Terry a couple of weeks ago. So that's a nice interview to end the evening with, which we'll hear later on. So no highlights, Terry, but let's talk about the game then straight away. We get to dive straight into it. How did you feel?
I mean, it's sort of probably just as well there's no highlights. I'm not sure we'd have been any better than the the Blackburn guys. It was a weird one yesterday because we had the visually impaired channeled into our commentary as well. So there's a lead that goes into our box when the normal commentary team would do that.
I honestly thought you were going to say in our defence.
Well, there's like several links in those. The normal commentators couldn't make it, so we were drafted in to assist in that. And so we had to carry on commentating, even though we knew, I'd say 99.9% of the people that would normally listen couldn't, because they had, for some reason, best known to the technophobes behind the scenes, they channeled the Blackburn commentary onto the stream instead of ours. But we had to commentate anyway in that first half, and that was reasonably depressing. And it was, I mean, some people, you know, people may not agree with me necessarily, but we didn't cope with the first half conditions. Clearly, I mean, the balls were being sent down the middle and down the sides. Pierce, Lockyer, and so they just couldn't handle them. And Blackburn, I think, mastered the conditions in that first half better than we did. Second half, when we had those conditions in our favour, you could tell that we were on the front foot and we were the ones that were imposing ourselves. But we didn't manage the conditions in the same way, and we didn't look like, with the exception of that one save from Cullen, wasn't it? I think the second half. We didn't really look like we were gonna turn them over. Having said that, I think if we'd have got a goal back, and I did pose that question to Lee Bowe as well, if for example, Taylor's header had gone in just before the end of the first half, if that had gone in, if one of those chances that we did have, and we didn't have many, to be fair, in the second half had gone in with 15, 20 minutes to go, could have been a different story. But we just didn't look like we were going to do it.
I found it was quite a strange game because we started lively. Yeah, I'd say the first 15 minutes, I think most would agree that we looked quite decent. And I was thinking, here we go, you know, a bit of momentum from that win over at Forest on Tuesday. But after Blackburn started to take a bit of a stranglehold on the game and they got their two goals in particular, then all of a sudden, I mean, the crowd's knocked for six, aren't you? You're feeling a bit down after that, and therefore any other chances we create after that, it's just a frustration that they don't go in. Because I mean, there's an argument that there was quite a few chances in the second half, you know, with the possession we had in that second period. I don't think we created enough, but there were some openings. So I don't know if I've just become a little bit immune, because from the Stoke performance or some of the displays we've seen at times this season, I mean, I don't put that anywhere near on that level. But at the same time, clearly it was a frustrating afternoon. And I mean, judging by some of the messages that have come in, I mean, people aren't feeling too good about it. And once you've gone 2-0 down and you don't get that goal back, you're just going to look at it as a whole and think, well, overall, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, definitely not one of our worst performances of the season by any means. I thought Blackburn came here and played very well. And as Terry said, handled the conditions probably better than we did. And they're a very good side. You know, they're pushing for the top six at the moment. Tony Mowbray's a very experienced manager. They've got some good players through that team, like Sir Stuart Downing, people like that have been around Championship and higher for a long, long time. So, yeah, it was one of those where you could just tell, really, as you say, I thought we started the game quite well, and then Blackburn just grew into it, and their midfield really started to control the game, and there was a lot of passing coming through the middle of the pitch, and we didn't really seem to handle it that well, which was frustrating. I think, from my perspective, like you, obviously, having been up at Stoke the other week, I can't really compare this performance to that, because this was 10 times better than that. And also, being in the Championship, I don't expect us to win every week, whereas down in League One, perhaps you'd lose a game and you'd be a bit more frustrated. So I know we are going to lose games against good teams, but as you said, I think the frustration for me comes that you get a great win away at Nottingham Forest, put in a really, really decent performance, and then to come back to home in front of a sellout crowd and all that expectation coming into this game, and then to put in a performance that's just a little bit flat, really, is where the frustration came. But as you said, that second half, I thought we created a little bit. It wasn't enough to get back in the game, obviously, because we didn't score. But yeah, it definitely wasn't our worst performance. And there are definitely positives that Boya can take. Whereas I think after that Stoke game, it was a case of, right, forget about that and move on. Whereas I think here there are things that they can take out of that game and work on this week.
I mean, let's look at the goals themselves. Obviously, the most important part of any game. John Buckley giving the visitors the lead, was it just before the half hour mark, 29 minutes? I mean, he got the ball on the left hand side, and you're seeing him cutting in, and you're thinking, just don't let him get a shot away because anything can happen from the edge of the area. But he did get the shot away, and sure enough, it seemed to take one, maybe even two deflections that's taking it away from Dylan. He almost gets down there, he almost recovers, but it's too late and it slips in. And you know, you're just disappointed that a player could seem to have almost a free run of the edge of our area, because any championship footballer shooting from the edge of the area has got a good chance of scoring.
Yeah, we got overloaded down our right-hand side. Matthews had to make a decision. Amari Bell was I think, the guy who was overlapping on the outside of Buckley. And Matthews had to make that decision. Does he go to the ball, or does he follow the overlap? And he went with the second one and allowed Buckley then to step inside. And then, of course, if midfield hasn't come back to help, the defenders have all got their own players to mark. So there's then that decision. Do they leave their marking player, who could then be slipped in by Buckley rather than his shot? So there's that decision to make, and by the time they make that decision, he's got his shot away. And to be fair, I didn't actually see who got the final touch, whether whose backside or leg it came off of. Somebody went and made the block, but unfortunately didn't get enough on it, and it deflected past Dylan. That's down to the midfield not coming back and helping out Matthews in the first place for me. It was a sloppy one to give away, and it's crucial as well in a game like that. If in those conditions, if we defend properly, it's 0-0 all day long, isn't it?
Yeah, and the first goal in like you say in a game like that where we had started reasonably well. And I think it's probably fair to say that Blackburn had started to control the possession by the time that they did score. But as soon as you go a goal behind and you're chasing, then you're always going to have problems, especially at home.
Yeah, and I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I don't see us as a team that make that many comebacks. There probably are been a couple. But I feel like we're a team that if we get that first goal, the confidence floods through that team and we're able to control games quite well. Whereas when we do go behind, certainly in the games I've seen, I think we struggle then to really claw our way back in. As I say, we have done it a couple of times, Fulham being a good example. But yeah, it was disappointing, and as you've both said there, the nature of the goal to concede was just sloppy, because, you know, sitting up in the north, you see him cut in, you know he's going to try and get a shot away, and usually around the box we're quite good at defending those sort of plays and forcing them back out and forcing them back to the halfway line, and we just didn't really do that. As Tel says, we got overloaded on that side, there were some decisions that players had to make, and ultimately he gets that shot away, and the shot wasn't even a good one, but as you say, it just takes a deflection and wrong foot stills. And I don't know, it's with the weather and the conditions and everything, it was a goal that sort of just summed up the general day, really, because it wasn't like he's pinged one in from 35 yards into the top corner. It was just a miserable grey sort of finish as well. So
yeah,
it's just so frustrating, because as you say, you go into that game and you start well and you think, here we go, and there's a big crowd behind them, and then just to concede like that, it's just really annoying. And as I say, after that point, although we sort of huffed and puffed in that second half, I thought even after that first goal, we didn't really ever look like getting back in the game for me.
Yeah, looking at games where we have come from behind this season, I think you got West Brom home and away. We got a point, Barnsley away, Bristol City at home. I don't think there's too many more in there actually where we've gone behind. And so by my reckoning, I think Bristol City at home might be the only time we've gone behind and gone on to win. I'm sure people can correct me if I've missed one there when just going down the fixture list. Now, the worst thing to do after conceding one goal is go on and concede another. I mean, the free kick in the build-up to it was... I still can't understand. I think it was Lockyer who was penalised. He seemed to get the ball. I didn't see a foul in there.
No, it was nonsense. I actually thought it might have been Davis, but yeah, I mean, it could have been Lockyer. It was nonsense, free kick. And somebody made a valid point on Twitter, actually, this morning. I read it, that the referee probably still had it in the back of his mind that he might have to give the penalty.
Yeah.
And he bottled that.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
So he's completely bottled that decision and therefore thinks he owes him one.
Although, having said that, having watched it back, we'll talk about it in a minute, because, I mean, when the free kick comes over,
We should have defended.
Yeah, Tosin Adara Bayayo.
That's a real. I'm quite pleased we weren't on commentary in the first.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I went for about 20 different variations of that.
I mean, completely unmarked. Dylan Phillips was fuming. You could see you don't expect someone to be able to volley home from 6 yards out, and he was allowed to do that.
I think there was a combination of everything. A, the defender should have dealt with that better. B, I still maintain. The 6 yard box is the goalkeeper's area, and perhaps he should have come for it. But at pace, it's a tough one. I know it is. And you're just probably grasping at straws to try and blame somebody. But bottom line is, we didn't defend it as a team, we didn't defend it properly. And that's just really disappointing. Mm. I mean, how many times? That's another stat I think that we need to check. How many actual goals have we conceded from dead ball situations? Yeah.
That's a frustration, Tom, because I mean, a dead ball situation, as I think it might have even been you said the other day, that's something you control. That's something that, you know, you know a ball's going to be whipped in, then you should be set up to deal with it. You shouldn't let your runner get the wrong side of you.
Definitely not as many times as we have this season. It was a good ball in, into that little corridor, but we definitely could have defended it better. And Bozer said it himself, not just the times I've interviewed him, but when you listen back to any of the interviews Tell does, where we've conceded from set pieces, and unfortunately there's been a lot of it, those interviews this year. He says it annoys him because they work on it every day in the training ground. And we know the work Jacko does from an attacking sense. On set pieces, so we know that talent is there in terms of controlling it. I don't know if it's lack of concentration or what it is, but it's so disappointing again. And to finish that game with a set piece and a sloppy goal for that opener, to lose like that in the way we did, it's just a real shame, particularly with the sellout crowd that we had, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit later. But yeah, we should be able to control that better. And I mean, what is that? It must be about well into double figures the amount of goals we've conceded.
And the double whammy with that is that he didn't even get his head. I mean, he's about 7 foot tall, and it wasn't his head. He got to the ball. He got there with his foot.
Yeah. It just sort of bobbled.
We shouldn't be letting that in, should we?
Nah. I mean, so let's talk about it now, because you mentioned it, Tell, the penalty shot before. So, the ball's gone over the top. Now, for my initial reaction when I was doing my comms, I said that's going to be a penalty, because I saw Pierce go down and take him down. On the replay, I think there is an argument that Samuel's put too much pressure on Jason Pierce, and that's how he's got the wrong side of him.
But the thing is, I mean, my instant reaction was that it was a pen. And I think I said it at the time, you won't know because nobody heard me, but I'm pretty sure I said it at the time, unless there's a shout of Samuel pulling Jason Pierce back, which is why Piercy fell over, ultimately, then it's a penalty. And the replay sort of gives... I think there was enough in it for the referee to bottle it, as I said. There was enough in it for him to suggest and to say that Samuel gave Jason Pierce a tug. I'm not sure there's enough to bring Jason Pierce down, to be fair. Put it the other way, if that had been on against us, you know, going in the opposite direction, I'd have been fuming, I think.
Yeah, you would have thought it was very, very, very soft.
Absolutely.
It was a couple of times we've seen that recently where Jason's either given away a penalty or been lucky not to give away a penalty. I think that's something he'll probably be thinking he might want to work on a little bit. His grappling or challenging within the penalty area is something that at times has left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't already. I think it was after Preston, wasn't it? He gave away the penalty, and we spoke to him after the game, and he held his hands up, not put them round us, and said, it was my error, but... Then I remember Stoke away last week, me and Lewis were there, and every corner there he was hands all over the attackers, and clearly that's his method of defending. And I think perhaps in the lower leagues you maybe get away with it a little bit more, but in the Championship you just don't, unfortunately. And there are bits of his game that are tailor-made to the Championship, and he's put in some really good performances this year. So to then concede, I mean, that should have been a penalty yesterday, in my opinion, but to give away the fouls that he does from that sort of behaviour, it's not really good enough. And it's one of the issues we had. I think someone emailed in the other week about whether we need to strengthen at centre-back, and I definitely think we do. And as I say, there is a role for Pierce, but the quality of the players now, they're that little bit quicker and that little bit stronger, and I don't think he can really handle it.
I think I agree entirely. I think Tom's spot on, pretty much. And I think the issue here is, I mean, Jason Pierce is a fantastic defender, and he's not the only defender in this country, in any division, that pulls and tugs and grapples people at corners and free kicks. They all do it, and until such time as the referee, instead of stopping play and saying, "Oi, don't do that," just let it go and then give a pen. Because if there's a clear foul in the box, just give it a pen. Don't tell them not to do it. They know not to do it. They should know not to do it. Just give the pens. If they keep doing it, then they'll stop. Eventually, they'll stop. The point, I think, here is that, Jason Pierce has come up from League One into the Championship. It's a whole new ball game. The strikers are a lot quicker. The ball moves a lot faster. I think Jason Pearce, when he doesn't have to mark one-on-one, is a superb defender. Times his tackles fantastically. His position's great. He reads the game superbly.
Yeah.
I think he has to. We have to, as a team, allow him to be that sort of covering defender that isn't like one-on-one against anybody.
Mm.
So he can sweep up, if you like, behind.
I mean, obviously
with a three, you should be able to.
I was going
to
say, we try that with a three at the back. I mean, you often get... it's something that comes up for debate quite a lot, the three at the back. But I've seen us play it away from home and it's worked. And I've seen us play it at home where it's worked. I always go back to the Derby game. I'm certain we played that formation then and we outplayed them. Sometimes we're set up well to soak up a bit of pressure, let the other team have a little bit of the ball and then try and hit them on the counter. Obviously, with some of the players missing yesterday, maybe with Johnny Williams missing and Andre Green, that pace up front that we didn't have yesterday, that didn't really come to fruition for us. And I guess that could be one of the reasons why we didn't perform to our very best yesterday.
I think so. For me, it's that transition when we do get the ball back. And the notes I've just put on the team sheet here, McGeady, I'm sure we'll talk about him a little bit more, given it was his first full game. Didn't think he did an awful lot. David Davis himself has admitted didn't have the best game. Cullen was very quiet, although, you know, does what he does. But there wasn't really that attacking flair in the midfield to get it forward, and I thought Lyle Taylor was largely isolated. But Hemed again played okay, not as well as he did at Forest, but he's playing a little bit better. But again, where we are in the league, we haven't really... I think Boya said it after the Stoke game, he said that the quality that we've got in this team, they can't have a bad day if we want to win games. And unfortunately yesterday, too many players, they didn't have a bad game, but they were just slightly off it, you know, 5 or 6 out of 10 as opposed to 7 or 8. And it makes a big difference when that goes through all the team. There aren't many people, really, that I look at and think they had a good game. I thought Naby did all right, and that was really about it. So, yeah, it's that formation can work, I think, in an ideal world with everyone fit. I'm not sure how often we'd play it, because I think Bowes probably still prefers that diamond. I know we've kept two up front the last few weeks, either with the 5-3-2 or the diamond. I think that is helping, and when Macca's back fully fit, it was great to see him yesterday. I think him and Lyle probably will be a big factor in helping the attacking side of the game as well. But yeah, I don't think the three at the back is necessarily a bad thing, because as you've both said there, you've got Pearce doing what he does, you've got Lockyer maybe somewhere in between, and then you've got Naby Sarr with the kind of culture and the ability to get the ball forward. So I haven't got a problem with that per se. It's more the midfield in front of them yesterday were just a little bit outplayed, I thought, by Blackburn's midfield.
I mean, looking at Hemed then, do you think he's right? I mean, he wouldn't be the first choice option, I think, if Bond was fit or if Andre Green were fully fit, because there's not a great deal of pace in that front two all of a sudden.
I think the question should probably isn't is Tommy Hemed a good player or not, because clearly he has been a good player for other clubs. And at Forest, I thought he was superb in some of the hold-up play.
Same.
and the goal came directly as a result of the way he turned defenders and got tackled, but even so. I think the question is, you know, when Lyle Taylor first came into the club and first started playing for us, he had Carl and Grant beside him, and those two hit the ground running and played each other superbly and played the channels really well. So when one went down the channel, the other one went straight to the box and vice versa, and so the defence wasn't sure who was going where, couldn't cope with the pace. Tommy Hemed is not that player. He just isn't. He's not a player that will sort of run into the channels at speed. He's a different kind of forward, different kind of striker. I think Tom's right. Maybe Andre Green is that, and Macaulay Bonn possibly as well. And so when those two are fit with Lyle Taylor, we might have a different beast up there. But until that happens, again, Tom's right. Lyle Taylor was cutting a fairly forlorn figure out front, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And if you can't use him properly, and we are missing that link play between the defence and attack. You know, we've got good midfield players in there. And I'm not necessarily talking about Alfie Doherty because he's more of a wing back, but you know, you've got Josh Cullen, David Davis, and McGeady are all good players. You know, all good players, but you know, the likes of Williams who does that link up play much better. And the one surprise for me yesterday was that Ostermeyer didn't come on.
Yeah,
for somebody like Doherty, because I thought he was if anybody on the bench is likely to do it, it would be Aaron Ostermeyer. Maybe it was too late by the time the decision was made, we were already two down. And maybe he wouldn't have suited the conditions, the windy conditions.
I think that midfield as well yesterday, that's probably the first time they've played together. Almost certainly is. I know Cullen and Davis will have played, obviously, in the week. But that midfield three haven't played as a three before. So maybe it's just a case of getting used to each other as well. As Tel says, McGeady's a great player. Davis, I think, already looks like he could be quality. But they're just adapting to a new team, so that might take a little bit of time. And as I said, same point about Hemed, we haven't really got a lot of time, and that's the only concern. But I think Williams hopefully will be back next week. Aaron obviously on the bench as well, so we just need one of them, I think, in there at all times.
And I think Prattley as well we're missing, because I don't think Davis's game is getting into the box quite as much.
No.
Whereas, I mean, Darren Prattley just gets everywhere, doesn't he? he's just a machine. And we don't seem to have those midfield players appearing in the box in the last few games, even against Forest, to be fair, that we've had in the past, and I think we miss that.
Yeah, I mean, with Aidan McGeady, then, it was his first start for a long time. I think the last time he played for Sunderland before... You know, he sort of fell out of favour or had some sort of falling out with the management there was back in November. So, I mean, it is going to take him a while to pick up match fitness. And I don't know, he looked a bit slow, perhaps, yesterday, a little bit laboured in possession. But we all know, we've all seen him play here last season for Sunderland. We know that he can be better than that. And there's definitely a player in there that we're still waiting to see the best from.
Yeah, he just looked like a player that hasn't played a lot of football. I mean, in my notes here, I've written anonymous. I think that might be a little bit harsh because I don't think he was completely anonymous. But when he did get the ball, he just looked slightly off it. As I say, I think you could say that about a lot of the players. But, you know, his touch was just a little bit heavy. He was just a little bit behind the play at all times. But as you've just said there, that is going to take time to get up to speed. We've seen it the same with any of our players. You know, Jake, I remember playing the first game of this season against Blackburn away. Had an okay game but looked a little bit slow, but then picked up because obviously he'd had a long time out. It's the same for Johnny Williams whenever he's been injured and comes back, so it does take them time. I know there's a good player in there, as you say, we all know what he's capable of. I know he's not getting any younger, but I think he could make a real impact over the rest of the season. But he's another one that, you know, we need him to get up to speed quick, I think.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Boat did try and change it at half-time, went to that diamond that he likes, bought on Matt Smith, the Man City loanee, for Jason Pearce, switched it up a bit. He was involved actually quite soon, Matt Smith. He had that shot that deflected into, I can't remember if it went wider, into the goalkeeper's arms. What did you make of him? He hasn't had too many minutes yet, Tell?
I think similar to what Tom said about Aidan McGeady, we've been spoilt a little bit with the likes of Conor Gallagher, haven't we? You'd hope that Matt Smith would be a similar style of player, but he isn't. Obviously, and I think yesterday's game was probably not the right game to judge him on, and even the cameo appearance he had at Forest, very difficult to judge what type of player he is. I haven't seen him before, so I'm still not really sure what type of player he is, because when he first came on, he looked like he was going to be wide, and he played some nice little balls down the side, and he looked, oh, this could be interesting, but then he sort of dropped deep to pick the ball up, and then once he started doing that, I thought the effect disappeared as well. So it's very difficult to judge what sort of player Matt Smith is, but he's a Man City player, so you'd expect him to be half decent, and maybe it's just unfortunate that he's coming to a side that wasn't playing very well, because, you know, I just don't, as I said earlier, we didn't cope with the conditions in the same way that that Blackburn did, and got bullied a bit, and so 2-0 down, it's a tough one for him to come in and try and make a mark for 18, isn't he?
Yeah, 18, yeah. Well,
it's a tough ask.
Is it fair to say there was some improvement after the break? We had a few chances.
Definitely.
I mean, other than those first two shots we had in the first couple of minutes of the first period, and then, I mean, that great save from Christian Morton from Taylor just before half time. I think there was probably a 30 minute spell there where we didn't look like we were going to score. In the second half, I felt we were getting on the ball and it just seemed to be breaking down, didn't it? Maybe towards the edge of their area. Long shot from Cullen, a header from Hemed quite early on in that second period that was deflected over. Like I say, you just need one of those chances to go in, and the whole spirit, even if we went on to lose 2-1, I'd say people would have felt we'd actually given it a go there, because we were pouring forward, but we weren't creating enough, I think.
Yeah.
That seemed to be how that second half went.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. And even we got to about 75, 80 minutes, we were still, Lyle had a couple of free kicks, didn't he, as well? And yeah, it only took one of them to go in, as you say. The complexion of the match would have changed. I think we were in the ascendancy, but not probably by enough. So yeah, there was a definite improvement. As Tel said earlier, we had the conditions then, so the wind was obviously blowing towards that end. So we started, that obviously helped us a little bit, but it was just one of those days, really. There were just not enough players quite at it. And you're right, we kind of huffed and puffed and got to the edge of the box, and then there wasn't really anything from there. I thought Lyle struggled a little bit. I don't know if he's a little bit tired at the moment or if he was just a bit isolated. It could have been that. Hemed, we've already spoken about. So I think, yeah, it was just one of those days, unfortunately. But as I said a little bit earlier, I think there was enough positives from it that Boya can take that into training this week. We were saying in the car here, obviously, that the game against Luton is a must win. I suppose they all are now, but you would expect to get a result there, although I know they beat Middlesbrough yesterday, I think, didn't they? So, but that's a game that, you know, this week Boya would have been targeting 3 points from that game, I would think. So, yeah, it's about working on that this week, and obviously he's got a full week to do it, I think, this week. So that'll help as well, get some players fit, and hopefully he's got some more players to choose from on next Saturday.
Yeah, it's crazy that result for Luton up at Middlesbrough yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I had completely written them off. I mean, we're going to talk a bit more about the relegation battle overall in a few minutes. So I think it's time we hear from Lee Boyer. Don't forget, we're going to hear from you guys as well. You can have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or head over to the Charlton Live forum if there's anything you want to talk about on this evening's show, yesterday's display. You know, how you're feeling about the relegation battle that we're in still. I asked Lee Boyer yesterday if he thought he was going to go down to the wire, and he said, I hope not, because we've got Leeds on the last day of the season. But he did say he trusts his players will get enough in it. Enough points between now and the end of the season so that we won't be involved at the very end if that's the case. But anyway, anything you want to say, and don't forget we're going to hear from Bob Boulder later on this evening's show. But let's hear from Lee then. He came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game and was talking about a bit of a difficult afternoon for his side.
Yeah, I think we started better than them first 10-15 minutes, and they got a goal, and then I think for the remainder after their goal, they was better than us. Then they got the second one from a set piece. I don't think it was a foul, personally. But again, it's got to defend our box, you know. And change it at half time, going 2-0 down half time. Without really, they did. It's not like they've done anything special, you know. They turned us around a lot, played the conditions, the experienced, and they've done a good job on us. I'd say that Tony and his group have come here and done a good professional job.
That's sort of what I was getting at. I mean, as you say, we sort of switched off with that free kick, when it certainly wasn't a free kick. I don't think anybody in the ground thought it was, except the ref. And then for the first goal, similarly, sort of allowed the man inside and then get a shot away. So we made two mistakes and they punished them. Second half, when the conditions were in our favour a little bit, we put them on the back foot, but they dealt with us a little bit better.
Yeah, like I said, in the second half we made some changes half time, and then we huffed and puffed, but we just didn't really break them down. Again, bit of quality in the final third, decision making, and their keeper made some good saves. But that's his job. We have to try and create chances where he can't save them. And normally we do that. There's not many times we don't score in a game. So, we have to take some positives that we kept going and kept fighting and improve on the negatives.
Do you get the feeling that had one gone in, had we got that one goal back, then it might have been a different story with the packed valley and momentum in our favour?
Yeah, I said to the players half time, get one, that's it, you go on and win. Like, and I honestly meant it. I meant that sincerely, because I knew if we could manage to get one in the first 5 minutes, we had a couple of half chances, didn't we? But it just wouldn't go in for us. And if we would have managed to get one of them in, I think we'd have gone on and won the game. I think our crowd then gets even louder and they get under a bit more pressure, and then I think we go on and win. But we didn't get that first one, and unfortunately, we end up coming away with nothing.
It's sort of the Charlton way, to be fair. I mean, you've been around the club long enough, Lee, as a player and a manager, and we have as fans, that we put in an epic performance on Tuesday night, and then we come to a full house here at the Valley, and we just can't turn it in. Just happens to be the Charlton way sometimes.
Yeah, it's highs and lows, isn't it? It's always been this way at this club. So, most important thing is that we take the positives from today. There was positives. The players didn't give in and they kept going to the end. We have to work on the negatives and dust ourselves down and come back next week. Come back next week, and I have no doubt that the crowd will be cheering and the players will give 100%, and all we can do is keep trying to pick up points.
probably say this between now and the end of the season, but it's going to be a huge run next Saturday. Obviously, teams in and around us are always crucial, and Luton, obviously, there's been some more strange results today, as you've probably already seen.
Yeah.
And so we can't rely on those results. We have to rely on ourselves, I guess, starting from next Saturday.
Don't worry about what others do. It's about what we do. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot more twists and turns. Yeah, I think that there's teams that are above us. Are going to get drawn into this as well. I have no doubt. So all we can do is concentrate on what we're doing and keep trying to pick up points. And all we need to do is get as many points to get us safe. And then looking forward, and then we have to start getting ready for next season. But firstly, take each day game as it comes, because every single game from now on in is going to be tough.
You've got head options on the bench, which is a plus point compared to previous months of this season. One that wasn't there, though, was Johnny Williams. Can you expand on that? I know you rested him last week, but problem?
Yeah, so obviously you rested him Tuesday, because Johnny's one of them players. It's a bit risky, you know, if he goes Saturday, Tuesday. So I just said to him, look, get yourself ready for the weekend. And unfortunately for us, on Thursday training, him and McCauley got their legs tangled together, and McCauley fell on Johnny, and Johnny's foot was still stuck in the ground, and he's twisted his ankle. So I don't know how serious it is, but that's the way it's gone for us, I think, this season. So, but we have AD as well, so I think he showed good glimpses, and I see him in training the last few days, and he looks like he's, once we get his fitness up a bit, then yeah, he'd do a good job for us as well. So, but yeah, disappointing that Johnny's out, but we don't know how long for yet.
On the plus side, Andre Green, who was a doubt and obviously didn't make Tuesday, good to see him back on the bench. So it's not all doom and gloom with some players back, or most of the players now back.
No, there's Andre's back, and he gives us something different up there. So yeah, I was over the moon when he came, got through yesterday's training. He was able to be on the bench.
Tough one to take today, Lee, but obviously on the next Saturday, and another one of now, I think it's 13 left, 13 big ones left to go.
Yep, and we have to keep fighting for every single one, and we do that, then I'm sure we'll be fine.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Johnny!
Yes! 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 Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Johnny has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it all!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening, coming to you live from the Valley, where unfortunately yesterday Charlton were beaten by 2-0 on Football for a Fiver. David just heard there from Lee Bowyer, keeping everything in perspective. I mean, he was frustrated. You could see that after
yesterday. It's not an interview that's going to cheer you up necessarily, is it?
Yeah, even when we win, though, it's not really. That's the running joke on Radio London, is that Bowyer sounds so miserable. But he just thinks about what he's saying. And you know, from the curb score of never get too high, never get too low. Even when we scored the winner at Wembley, you see that little video, you see him running down the touchline, he just remembers himself, doesn't he, and gets calms down a little bit. Yeah, I mean, he's take the positives from it, and like I say, there were some to take from yesterday, but he knows he will look at the parts of that game where we have to improve again, and obviously set pieces is one of them, but there's a few things where we were just a little bit slow.
I'm just wondering, and I was looking at the fixtures and results, and obviously early on in the season we got two occasions, I mean we were unbeaten in August, we had a couple of back-to-back wins, but not since then we haven't had one. And especially when we play midweek and then follow it up with a Saturday game. So I'm just wondering whether that's just an issue now with a tiring and fairly small squad, that's going to be the case. So hopefully now we've got a full week, and similar to what we did at Forest after the Stoke performance, he can you know, the whole team can conjure up a bounce back against Luton, because we do need that result, don't we?
Oh yeah, that's going to be huge. We'll preview that properly on Thursday. We might even talk a bit more about that towards the end of this evening's show. One of the things that Lee mentioned when I spoke to him yesterday, he said he thought we looked a bit nervous, Tom. He singled out Alfie Doughty, who perhaps looked a bit overawed by the occasion, and the occasion being it was football for a fiver. It was a sellout inside the home ends. I mean, obviously there's quite a few people, it seemed, that were put off by the wind and the rain and didn't make it, but there was a crowd of 25,000 in there. Our record in these football for a fiver games is particularly disappointing recently. Now, it started
that's
a debate.
Obviously, you know, I said off air. That's the question I was going to ask, because somebody somewhere must have a stat about that.
Oh yeah, I mean, so we haven't won any of the last six, and we haven't scored in any of the last five.
I knew
five.
You'd have it.
Well, no,
it's
CFC facts and stats. Oh, okay. Tweeted yesterday. I just remember what they tweeted earlier. Now, I mean, I've always loved football for a fiver. I like the fact that more people come in. I like the fact that people who perhaps can't afford to go to games, because football is an expensive hobby. You know, it's addictive as well. It's like a drug. It's an opportunity for young family to bring youngsters. So you're not sure if they're going to enjoy it for the first time. Some people will get. There was a great message on the Facebook group I saw earlier where someone, you know, saw people moaning, but they were able to bring, I think that's their granddaughter or something, or their daughter. And even though we lost, she loved it, and she wants to come back, and she wants to wear a Charlton kit today. You know, so even if we lose, I still think it's a great opportunity. But at the same time, there was quite a lot flying around yesterday. People said, oh, there's a bloody plastic in my seat, which is a phrase I don't enjoy hearing. You know, people moaning about the fact there was a bigger crowd and there was bigger queues for stuff. Clearly it wound a few people up, and it didn't help the fact if we won yesterday in front of 25,000 people. You remember that Huddersfield game where we won 3-0 a few years ago? I mean, people would have loved it. But I mean, Boyer's comment about the nerves, do you think a larger crowd can affect it? Because we did say on Thursday's show that when we played in front of a big crowd against Doncaster in the playoffs, we actually looked very nervous, and we don't know if that's the fact there was more people here or the occasion itself. We were going to get to Wembley. Do you think that could have played a part yesterday?
I think it definitely could have. Yeah, players are creatures of habit, aren't they? They're used to a routine and get used to things. I remember when Spurs moved to Wembley for a little bit whilst they were building a new stadium, and someone on the radio was saying how you get used to things like where the advertising hoardings are, and like you get your perspective on the pitch based on certain things. So without sounding a bit stupid, if you're used to, you know, patches of red seats where there aren't that many people in the stadium and suddenly it's full, it's just going to be very different. So if we were selling out every single week, those players would be used to it. But it probably does make a big difference when you go down there and suddenly every single seat is full. In terms of what the fans think, you know, I think the more the merrier. I think it's a great initiative. I mean, obviously, I brought six people down who aren't Charlton fans but just came for the day. There's going to be people like that. But there might genuinely be people who come along and as you said, get addicted and get hooked and start to come more often. And for that, I think it's a really good initiative. But yeah, I think nerves absolutely could play a part. I was going to reference the Doncaster game as well. Obviously, as you said, slightly different circumstances in terms of what was riding on the game. But that day, we definitely looked nervous. And I thought we did a little bit yesterday as well, just a little bit hesitant on the ball, not really making the right decisions enough times. So, yeah, I think it's just one of those things. As I say, if they were playing in front of that crowd week in, week out, they'd be used to it. But when you suddenly almost double your attendance or, you know, add 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 on, it is going to make a difference. Of course it is.
Probably a big danger that quite a few came yesterday. Won't be that tempted to come back.
Well, you say that, though, but I mean, we've been doing this initiative for a while now, and the kids for a quid, and and various other things. And I'd say, look, and I had this discussion with London Indigo, who listens to the show, Mike, that, you know, if it wasn't for those types of initiatives, maybe our hardcore would be about 2K less than it currently is.
Exactly.
So I don't mind them. I get why people sometimes don't like them, and the atmosphere does take a bit of a hit.
Definitely.
Although us not playing very well probably didn't help either. I get it. I get both sides. I'd like to see maybe some slight changes to the way I do it, you know, because we've done this now for a while. And some season ticket holders get a bit of the ump because, as you say, people end up sitting in their seats that shouldn't be there and all this sort of stuff. So rather than upset existing season ticket holders, maybe, you know, give them an incentive. So as when there's a football for a five a day and you've got loads of different people, then every season ticket holder maybe get a free pint. You know what I mean? Just something that says, yes, we want to draw these new people in, and yes, it's cheap. But as a reward for, as a thank you for being a season ticket holder and coming week in, week out, here's a free pint. Do you know what I mean? Something that helps all, I don't know. But because, you know, we're not in the Premier League. We've lost a huge amount of fan base over the last five or six years because of the previous ownership. We need to drag it back in the same way as when we were at Selhurst and then came back here. We needed to bring that fan base back, so we had to do initiatives to make sure that we could fill the place.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same now. We're in the lower reaches of the Championship. Would that game have been sold out if we hadn't done the incentive? Absolutely not.
No.
Would now people be saying, well, the atmosphere is rubbish because it was an horrible day, so after people that would normally turn up didn't bother because of the wind and the rain, so we ended up playing in front of 10,000 instead. Do you know what I mean? So there's lots of ifs and buts. I don't think it's personally anyway. I don't see that there's any negative in bringing people putting bums on seats because they might just come back.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned we're in that bottom end of the Championship. Unfortunately, we still are. I mean, was it last week? We were saying it's a two-horse race between us and Wigan to fill that third relegation spot. I mean, that's changed quickly in the in the course of a week after Tuesday's win. You're thinking, right, that's it, we're done. And then all of a sudden it turns. I mean, some of the results that the sides below us picked up yesterday, I mean, Barnsley going to win 3-0 at Fulham. I mean, it sounds like Fulham have had a few off days this season, but I mean, that is an unbelievable result. Good performance from them. Luton beating Middlesbrough 1-0. I mean, they rode their luck at times, but it sounds like they look quite good. Wigan getting not a bad point away at Cardiff. You know, there's teams below us that I've written off in my head, and all of a sudden they're giving themselves a real chance. And you've got the likes of Stoke. I mean, they were 2-0 up at QPR before imploding. And then, I mean, what did Huddersfield do?
They
drew 1-1 as well yesterday at Derby, so that's not a bad result. I mean, so there's so much life left in this relegation battle, and you know, we'll have to do what we did on Tuesday, Tom, pick up the odd result here and there, and we just have to hope we pick up enough, because it's, I mean, do you fear it's going to go down to the wire? Asked Lee yesterday, do you think that's going to be the case? Do you think we're going to pull away before then?
Still no.
Can we get relegated with 3 weeks to go somehow?
I've not once thought we were going to go down, and I still stand by that. And as I said the other day, that might be stupidity, but we'll wait and see till the end of the season. I think just looking at the table, there's only 9 points between 24th and Borough in 18th. So I think any of those seven teams reasonably could go down. I just don't think one of them is going to be us. I think I've seen enough from this side, and obviously the game against Luton is going to be another huge one. We've got Wigan second to last game, which is going to be huge. Still got Borough to play, I think. We've still got Huddersfield to play.
Borough got Wigan next week? They've got somebody in the frame. So, I mean, everybody's saying about, Barnsley, Luton, Wigan.
Borough at Barnsley next
Barnsley,
week.
Barnsley, there we go. Yeah. So if Barnsley win, that's not great for us. But then it also keeps Middlesbrough, you know, in the frame for going down as well. And I don't think Hull and QPR are completely out of it.
Yeah. I think that 47 points that Bowyer set, I think that's probably the right sort of ballpark, and I definitely think it's achievable based on what I've seen so far this season. I definitely think we can do it. So I'm still very confident.
We're going at home to Millwall as well, so we need them to do us a favour.
Yeah, like, when's that ever happened?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, never.
Millwall are a good side. So, and I don't think unlike Fulham, they're not likely to roll over to another side. I mean, they might get beat, of course, but they're not like. I mean, if Barnsley had sneaked a 1-0 win, a bit like what Wigan did at Leeds, you can probably think, well, okay, that can happen. Mm. But to dunk them 3-0 at their place, I mean, that's just unheard of.
Some of the goalkeeping in that game was remarkable. Yeah. I was watching it last night. Though. I think it was the second goal where the keeper came at Craven Cottage.
He wasn't. Yeah. He was halfway down the table. No, so,
he was in Hammersmith while the keeper. Oh, it's unbelievable. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that came in yesterday. You can still get involved with tonight's show as well. Email us, studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live forum. Got a few questions, a few comments are coming. Man in Pants says, I'm in my pants. What is in them was better than yesterday's result.
That's too much information, I think.
Yeah. Ev says, seriously, I thought we gave it our best shot. We weren't good enough to beat a good Blackburn side. Our players are getting near to full match fitness and will be enough to get us over the line onto Luton. And that is a must-win game. Yeah, can't argue with that. So, London Iggy's, then a question for you boys. Do you think that the feel-good factor from the takeover is rapidly disappearing, Till?
No, I think Johnny Jackson signing his contract yesterday carries the feel-good factor going. I think, you know, we're in danger, I suppose, of mixing the feel-good factor, if you like, of the takeover and just not playing well. And we're going to get that. We're going to get times where we're just not going to play well and lose games, as we did yesterday. If you'd have asked that same question after the Forest game, you'd have had a completely different answer, probably. So, I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that's still the case. I think we're still in that hiatus, we just need to win enough games to keep us in this division, and then see where we go from there. And it's a tough ask, it is. But we knew it was going to be a tough ask at the beginning of the season, regardless who owned us.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, the feel-good factor is only ever going to extend a certain amount of time, and then you get back to the nitty-gritty of what's happening on the pitch. And when what's happening on the pitch is a bit of a flat display and a defeat in front of a big crowd, then that's gonna colour how you're going to feel for the rest of the week, rather than the fact that we've got new ownership and that Roland's no longer here. Because, I mean, you know, they've done what they've done what they've done in January. They've got the manager and the assistant manager now onto contracts. There's not a great deal more for them to do between now and the end of the season, really, other than keep up their engagement. And then they have to deliver in the summer. I mean, they've probably been given a bit of a free pass to just, you know, have an average window or an okay window. But now what happens in the summer is when they're really going to be judged.
100%. Yeah, I think the expectations obviously changed during January. But if yesterday's result happens under Roland, people are moaning because it's Roland. If it happens under ESI, people are moaning because they haven't bought in Messi and Ronaldo. So look, a performance like that isn't going to please anyone as a Charlton fan. So yeah, the summer is where they'll be judged. I think there are two massive things. I think recruitment on the pitch, and then I think how they price all of their season tickets and tickets for next season as well, because obviously they'll be wanting to get more people through the door again next year. And I think actually that's one of the few things that Roland did okay with, was some of the pricing, particularly in the North Stand, to try and get that as full as they could and keep that nice and cheap. But I know some of the complexity around it was baffling. So if they can get a good strategy, get people to be renewing and buying season tickets, if there are any initiatives they can start to introduce to get people to bring more people along, then that's a positive. And then, as you say, the recruitment on the pitch has to be right. And obviously Steve Gallen is still the man in charge of doing that, which is excellent from our perspective. And hopefully he'll just have a little bit more weight financially behind him to be able to bring some good calibre players in. So yeah, as we've all said plenty of times on this show over the past few weeks, now it's about getting through to the end of the season, and then let's see what ESI do then. And then by, you know, Christmas, middle of next season, we can start to judge how they've got on, I think.
Yeah, right, Daniel Trafin said that Blackburn bossed us yesterday. They played us at our own game. We have to move on. Spencer says, another disappointing performance. One step forward and two steps back. The Luton game is a must win. We need to start Lyle Taylor and Macaulay Bond, and says, even worse than yesterday's performance is the fact that I actually work with a Blackburn fan. That's not good, Spencer. Don't you have Blackburn mates as well, Tom? Or?
Yeah, he came yesterday. Yeah, he was out with us. But he was all right about it.
Yeah.
Shake of the hand, and that was that. So
that's good.
We've won the last two, I think, against Blackburn. So
you still got the upper hand.
Just, yeah. And we've still got that Klaus Jensen goal against Brad Friedel, which I wind him up about on a weekly basis.
Andy says that the £5 seat offer does bring in a lot of plastic fans. I mean, that's not a phrase I particularly like, because, I mean, not everyone can afford to go every week. Not everyone wants to go every week, if we're being honest, but people support the club in their own ways. There's people like us who go to every game, or if they can. And you know, some people
by that token, you'd have to say that. Do you say that every person that doesn't come every week is plastic? And I would say no. If they've got Charlton in their mind, then that's how we all start, isn't it? You know, just we all have to come to a game from time to time. If they then get to the position where they can come every week, buy a season ticket, and then contribute to the club, great. And if some people, some fans think that these are plastic, if we do get to the Premier League, my word.
I was going to say, I mean, this is Charlton we're talking about. I don't think you can really be described as a glory hunter for turning up to Charlton versus Blackburn.
The atmosphere, you know, I know the Doncaster game was obviously a huge game, but that was a sellout, and the atmosphere that night was absolutely incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
40-odd thousand at Wembley.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to fit into the Valley every week, are they?
So the atmosphere yesterday was partly down to the fact the weather was crap, partly down to the fact the performance was crap, and partly down to the fact we lost the game. So I understand part of what they're saying, because obviously there are people who are going to maybe not know who David Davis is or Aidan McGeady because they don't come every week. And that's going to happen. And if you're here every week and you've seen all those players, then I understand why that might be a little bit annoying, because you think, well, but, you know, they've got to start somewhere. And as I say, when this place is full, it can create an amazing atmosphere. But that
it was
just
a lovely sight
happen,
to see, though. You have to be,
yeah. It always is when it's full.
When the Valley's full, it's an amazing looking place. I mean, it's an amazing looking place anyway. But when it's full, it's great to see.
Yeah, certainly is. Right, Fred says it was a predictable home defeat after a very good win in the week. Absolutely missing Conor Gallagher. It's a crying shame he wasn't replaced. And a good, solid Championship centre-half brought in as well in January. How many defensive midfielders do we want? Dave says it was underwhelmingly moist yesterday.
I enjoyed that one.
Sammy says it looked like we didn't fancy it in the rain. Our formation left our fullbacks exposed. We missed Prattley in the middle. Buckley cut in far too easily to score the first goal, which took about three deflections and was unlucky for Dylan Phillips. We need to defend set pieces better as well, and we must win on Saturday. John says Blackburn were very good, I thought. Said to the bloke next to me before it started that I thought we basked too long over the Forest win and we were underprepared. Mind you, their goalie was very good as well. I mean, it's so easy for it to be a bit different yesterday if one of those chances had gone in.
That's a fact,
Matt says if playing like that, we deserve to go back down to League One. Alex Norris says the formation was wrong. They had the midfield with our three at the back, changed it in the second half and it was more even. We had chances, but the game was already gone by then. Luke Bradley says, I got wet and I couldn't see any of the goals because Mowbray was stood in the way. That's a frustrating football for a five, and just stare at Tony Mowbray's arse the whole time.
Although, no, I'm not going there.
Well, some people might be up for that. Sebo says, I think we did try, but Rovers were very good on the day and you have to give them credit. I don't think it is worth hammering the lads too much for that, but making sure they learn from it in a positive and constructive way, which I believe they will. At the end of the day, on our part, it was just that lack of quality rather than effort. Onwards and upwards we go. Sally's looking forward to hearing the interview with Bob Boulder later on. Said that she met him in a few games ago in Crossbars. He's an absolute legend. He came over and had a chat with us and nicked one of my daughter's chips as well.
Yeah, that sounds like Bob.
Yeah, do they not feed him? Ross said that he thought Aidan McGeady shouldn't have been subbed off because he was playing well.
I think it's more to do with his fitness and tiredness rather than anything else, I guess.
Garmy says he's trying to think of something that rhymes with a certain word so they can read it out on air before he gets in
That's
contact with the show. Ian says, is Hemed really our first choice strike partner for Lyle Taylor? Tom, do you think he would be first choice once everyone's fit and firing?
Absolutely not, no. But having said that, I think some of the criticism of him, particularly in the last couple of games, has been a bit over the top. I think he was very, very good at Forest. From what I saw, his hold-up play was great. And then yesterday, he got in some good positions. Again, I think he hasn't really had enough of a run in the team, and I think this is the first time really we've seen it. But I would also caveat that by saying that you're as a striker, you're in there to score goals, and he obviously hasn't done that for us yet. So, no, I think for me, it would be Macaulay, Bon and Lyle probably, and then having Green on the bench, or if you're putting Green on, then Macaulay on the bench. I think that's just such a good option to have. And I think if we're all being honest, it probably hasn't quite worked for Hemed here. But as I say, last couple of games, he started to show a bit of something. But I think unfortunately for him, we'll probably be introducing Macaulay back into the side or Green, and then he won't kind of get a chance to get himself up and running. But no, he's not someone I'd be looking to sign long term or anything like that. I don't think.
Right, Hendrick says 3 points out of six from Forest and Blackburn. To be fair, I would have taken that all day long. Let's keep the faith. S. McLennan says there was no pressure on the ball in the middle. We didn't play the conditions either. We all like nice football, but a 2-0 down with the wind, Bowes should have just gone direct and made it uncomfortable for them. ESI and the team are also exposed for not signing the new dominant centre-back we so clearly needed. I mean, midfield was where we went in the January transfer window. Do you think we could have done with getting another centre half in? We've got a few in there. Darren Prattley can play there as well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, normally the crux is to try and get players who can specific to your needs and who can cover more than one position. But in this particular case, when they knew they were losing Conor Gallagher, I think that was the priority. And pretty sure, I don't know how much common knowledge it is, but the main target for that replacement then became unavailable.
Mm.
And so we couldn't get who we were after. And so either we settled for nobody or just settled for what we had, because, you know, literally it sort of changed overnight just before the end of the transfer window. So, and I've seen that player that they were after, and he was a good player.
Name names, Harry, come on.
No. I don't know how much common knowledge it is, yeah. But so the target they were after, they couldn't get.
Yeah,
which I think would have been a massive difference to this side.
Yeah, that's a shame. Right, Martin says, easy in hindsight, but Boya got the midfield wrong. McGeady shouldn't have started ahead of Oztuma after his performance at Forest. The constant tinkering of the midfield is frustrating. Also, why he started Hemed when Green fit is utterly baffling when we saw how good a partnership Green and Taylor were against Barnsley. I'm sure that's a fitness thing, because Green with his knee problem. McGeady is an impact sub for Martin. Defensively shambolic for both goals. McGeady barely lifted a leg towards Buckley for the first goal, and Pierce and Saar for the second were like Keystone Cops. Martin not too happy with the defending there. Tim says, evening all, have the club made any statement regarding the fight in the crowd in the North Upper G block before half time? Punches were thrown and the stewards stood watching for several minutes doing nothing. Surely that needs to be investigated. Both the so-called fans and the lack of a response.
I've not heard of that before.
I heard some screaming at one point. I don't know, but I mean, obviously we're not really near enough to understand what was going on there, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, if something went on it and people want it checked, they should report it to the club, for sure.
For once, Terry wasn't involved, is what we're trying to say. Richard Justin says, what did people make of Davis, McGeady and Matt Smith? I felt we missed Prattley and Williams. Does not look a very positive regarding Fields' injury as well. Yeah, Sam Fields still doesn't sound good. I'll be surprised if we see him again, unfortunately. But, I mean, he's going to a specialist tomorrow to find out what's going on with his knee. I mean, we've talked a bit about McGeady and Smith. Davis, you mentioned once or twice, Tom, but overall?
I thought he had a bad game yesterday, but I thought when we saw him up at Stoke, I thought he got that early booking, which obviously I think he's going to get most weeks probably, given the way he plays. I thought he looked all right up there, though. Obviously, just had to be a bit careful because he was on a card. And then I thought he was good again at Forest. I think what he gives us in that midfield is that strength. And I think I said it the other week that he's got a little bit of Prattley and a little bit of Cullen. I don't think he is as good as either of them in those particular bits, but he's got a nice balance in terms of his strength, winning the ball back and then trying to then play the ball forwards as well. He needs to be a bit careful with his aggression. I can't remember if it was him that gave the foul away for the free kick. But I don't think yesterday was a good game from him, but I think there's a very, very good player in there. And we saw how upset Birmingham fans were when he made the move over here, and I think already we've seen what he can offer this team.
Tony out in Spain says, against Barnsley we played well, against Stoke we played poorly, against Forest we played well, and against Blackburn we played poorly. There's a problem with consistency, and we can't seem to continue good performances from one game to the next. I'm not really sure what the solution is. Let's just hope that we can sort it out. I mean, why do you think we are so inconsistent, Tom? I mean, it's a tough one to put your finger on, because, I mean, we haven't won consecutive home games this season, I don't think.
I alluded to it earlier, and after August, where we'd not been beaten and we won back-to-back games twice on two occasions, we haven't done it since. That originally was down to squad depth and injuries, and I guess we're still trying to recover from that because players are still coming back. You get the feeling that, with the fixtures coming up, and we've got Luton Saturday, Sheffield Wednesday midweek, and then Huddersfield, the opportunity's there, and then Middlesbrough straight after that. If
we're going to do it.
If we're going to do it, it's going to be in that, and then Hull City straight after Middlesbrough, and then QPR in a midweek. So there's the opportunity there, with all due respect to the sides that we're playing. But Luton, Sheffield Wednesday, Huddersfield, Middlesbrough and Hull are all teams not a million miles away from a Sheffield withstanding. Now's going to be the time. Yeah. To try and get at least one, or if we can get one back to back, so it means two victories on the spin, then that puts a huge, gives us a huge lift for a start, and it puts us a long way to try and secure in Championship.
If
football.
We can get 13 back to back, might still.
Well, that'd be nice. Yeah.
right, Jack says it's a great assessment of the game, guys. Cheers. That's from Jack out in Florida. Very nice. Good for getting involved, Jack. Gadge says we should never do the football for a fiver as it's cursed. Instead, we should try football for six.
Yeah, just add a quid.
Yeah, add a quid. See if that works. Yeah. Tim Ruffle says Bob Boulder penalty save against Wimbledon at Selhurst was an absolute highlight of his career. Can you remember that one, Tom?
Yeah, I do remember it. Yeah. I'm not sure Bob would call it his highlight, to be honest.
No,
maybe because it was a seller. I know, especially because it was a seller. It isn't a highlight for me.
It's still an important save, I imagine. Right, Mike says, good show, lads. Cheers, Mike. On football for a fiver, I saw a mother taking her daughter to the game. I hadn't seen them at the game before. For me, it's great as it's getting people who wouldn't normally come into the ground and spending money. Right, Chapman Exile says, you've said it all, RE, yesterday, but here's a question with Johnny Williams. Is he too injury prone? Or do we stick with him for next season? Tom?
Outrageous.
I think yes and yes. Answers on it.
The injury he suffered this week, Macaulay Bond's falling on him in training, and that could have happened to anyone.
Not happy with Macaulay, I have to say. We knew what we were getting when we signed him. He's had this throughout his whole career, unfortunately. And it's no surprise when you watch him play, because he gets absolutely clattered about 8 or 9 times a game. So, yeah, it is frustrating. It's something you have to accept if you sign him, but... I think for me, the quality he gives us, even in the half a season that we're able to get out of him every time, it's so important. We said yesterday on the car on the way here, he was missing, and you could just tell that. What he offers in terms of driving forward, winning free kicks, getting in dangerous positions, tearing up defences, I think he's an absolutely brilliant player. And I personally I would sign him up for life. But yeah, I think what he can give us in terms of his attacking threat is just so, you just can't find it that many players at that level in the Championship, and combined with the fact that he just seems like a genuinely lovely bloke as well, he's someone I'd like to stick around. But the injuries are an issue, unfortunately, and it's something you have to factor in when you build your squad. But we've got Erhan now, who can fill in. I know they're not quite the same sort of player, but there's been a lot of performances recently where Erhan's played where I think he's looked pretty good as well. So yeah, we've got options in that midfield for sure.
I think there's got to be a case for making Johnny Williams train on his own.
Yeah.
No impact training at all in between games.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
See if we can put him out in one of those.
Because obviously there's probably not enough cotton wool to wrap him in.
Yeah, like Zorb football. Can he
You just get the feeling he'd get injured in Zorb football as well.
Yeah, 100%. Charlton said himself. First 10 we were good. Then Blackburn took the game to us and dominated us in the middle of the pitch. Our passing was terrible. We just couldn't get it going. Hopefully we'll see a totally different display on Saturday. Enjoying the show. Keep up the good work, lads. Yeah, cheers for that. 100%. Charlton, Phil was hugely disappointed with the result yesterday. Can't think of anything positive to say about the match on or off the pitch. There were a lot of £5 idiots in the North Upper who'd had plenty to drink, some of them even fighting each other, women screaming, kids crying. Much prefer the kids for a quid, which encourages family, not drunks and idiots. 40 years a fan, sorry to be so negative, but all round an awful experience for me. I guess, yeah, there's always a danger when the tickets are a bit cheaper, you get some people who are here purely for the drink and not for that. But I'm sure that, there's probably, nearly 6,000 or 7,000 extra people here yesterday. I'm sure the majority of them weren't fighting. It's just a shame that there were some. As always, the risk of football that came in and ruined it. Right, Tom says, excellent show as always. Cheers, Tom. Shame about the result yesterday. I think this season is going to be like this from now on in for the run-in, taking the opposition into consideration. 6 points out of these 4 games is relatively good, especially whilst maintaining a healthy advantage over the rest. If we can perhaps get 3 or 4 more points this month, then I think we've had a positive February. Perhaps I'm being too optimistic, but we are maintaining this advantage over the bottom three, and I think mentally this will give us the mental edge as the weeks go on. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We've still got a few more of your messages to come to, and don't forget we're going to hear from Bob Boulder later on during the show. We'll see you in 30 seconds.
be soft. Still on it now. Chip ball looking for the run-up from Williams. What a good ball that is. What a great run from Williams. Charlton trying to get in the box. There's McCauley. Yeah! What a goal! What a finish! That's a superbly well blown by Charlton. Great ball by Nabi Sarr to pick out the run of Williams. A great run by Williams. Ball into the box. Behind a little bit. The Derby defenders trying to make it back. McCauley bomb met it on the full and struck it past Kelroos, who had no chance. And after 6 minutes, Charlton are a goal up.
Right, so welcome. That ended very suddenly, didn't it? Welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Going to hear from Bob Boulder shortly, but a few messages on the forum. Barry's saying that our Thursday night show jinxed Saturday's set of results for us and the bottom three. I did say that, you know, this could be a real chance for us, and I read out all their difficult games they had, and that's come back to bite me on the bop. But he then adds, are there any progress on the contract offers to Phillips, Doughty and Sarr? I haven't heard anything since. I imagine Phillips will have a few suitors. I can see that, because he's been very good so far this season. Doughty's a youngster, so you'd hope. I mean, I'm sure anyone who's seen how well he's played might think he'd be worth a gamble. Nabi Sarr will be an interesting one, because obviously he's on probably quite a lot compared to most of the
team. Well, the rumour is that he is, yeah. And he refused to talk to you about it, didn't he?
Yeah, I asked him. So I asked him on Tuesday, wasn't it, at Forest, because he came out to speak to us. I'll see if I can get that clip up while we're still here. Actually, I won't be able to, because I haven't edited it. But basically, he didn't swear or anything. I haven't cleared it up.
He didn't punch you or anything.
I just asked if he'd thought about his future yet. All right, let's do this. It's going to sound really messy because I haven't edited it, okay? But I'm gonna try and get it up for you on here. So you're going to hear him talking there.
Of course, away from this evening, talking about you and your own futures, am I right in thinking your contract sort of is that coming to an end at the end of this season? Have you had a thought about what might be coming next yet?
That's not the subject tonight. Yeah. Sorry. That's not the subject. We're just talking about the game tonight.
So I thought fairly pointless even trying a follow-up question there, because
it's what I love about Nabi. It's not just that he can produce one of the sexiest passes in football. He can also basically tell Louis Mendes to shut up without actually saying shut up.
He made me feel good
very
about myself.
Very politely.
Yeah, very nicely. I was like, oh, cheers, Nabi, that's right. And then so I walked away, I was like, I didn't say anything there. That wasn't a very interesting story at all. But he's in a difficult position. He won't talk about it yet. And whether he stays or not, is up in the air, if we're being honest. It'll be a tough one.
We've had this debate a couple of times, obviously, because I think that centre-back debate has come up with the likes of the conversation around Pierce as well. For me, if he was happy to take that wage cut, he's someone I'd still like around the building. I think what he offers us at this level in terms of his culture on the ball, you saw it yesterday. As I said, I had a few mates along yesterday who, you know, come to the occasional Charlton game but aren't necessarily fans, and they all said that the class he's got on the ball is just so much above a lot of our players.
Funny enough, someone sat behind me yesterday saying, I could hear him speaking to their family, said, oh, that's Sarr, I don't rate him.
How funny.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
But I mean, he probably splits opinion amongst hardcore Charlton fans who come week in and week out as well. For me, as I say, I would have him. I know he's got that defensive frailty sometimes in him, but as Tel says, when you can put a cross in like that right on Lyle Taylor's foot, that's absolutely fine by me if he's going to make the occasional mistake. Yeah. Just don't do it at Wembley next time.
Yeah, good, I'll take him mugging me off every week if he puts in that cross more than once. Right, Medonka and Asters, I thought Blackburn deserved the 3 points yesterday. Sure, their keeper made some good saves, but our overall play was not the best. We can blame the football for a fiver, we can blame the poor weather, we can even blame the refereeing decisions, but the excuses now have to stop. The Luton match on Saturday is massive. I'm hoping that Prattley is back to start the match and that Hemed goes back to the bench, as he looks about as likely to get a goal as Josh Parker. Tactics and substitutions have got to be spot on, hoping that Johnny Williams will be back. Well, a twisted ankle, you never know how long that's going to be, really. Bert Palmer says that the fans bar should be season ticket holders only. I got there for 12:30 and I couldn't get a seat. It's outrageous. I mean, yeah, it's certainly become very popular. I know Amy couldn't get in, my other half couldn't get into the game after the game yesterday into the bar because there was too much of a queue. But I guess that was a big crowd as well. Mutley says that sometimes it's just horses for courses. We lacked any real creativity.
City, and they set up solid and dealt with the conditions better, and their recent form made them a confident team. We did have chances. Taylor should have headed it downwards when he had his. It was a good save, but in the best place to save it. Cullen's shot was decent, but most keepers would have saved it as well. I do think Osthuma would have helped us offensively, but we will never know. I don't think we should be getting too pessimistic. We have an important game on Saturday, and we will be slight favourites. Win that, and all of a sudden things will start to look rosier. Right, Robert says, hi guys, my son found a bag including wallet and credit cards etc. in the Upper West after yesterday's game. We gave it into the main reception, so if anyone lost a bag, get in contact with the club. Right, Dan says, hi guys, love the show, cheers Dan. Yesterday was disappointing, but I don't think it was a disaster. We were fairly beaten by a solid Blackburn team that are just outside the playoffs. This is Championship football. We're not going to get a win every week. Let's not forget we have players that are back now who aren't quite fully fit, the likes of Bond and Williams, etc. We're 5 points clear of the bottom three with some very winnable games coming up. The performance wasn't our best, but certainly not our worst. We forced their keeper into some good saves, and I can't think of too many saves that Dylan Phillips had to make. Rovers took their chances. Luton is a big game next week, and I'm sure the squad will be right up for it. David said, evening guys, thanks as always for producing such an essential show for all Charlton fans. Cheers. And then he says, real or plastic like me? I feel moved to email rather than tweet, and apologise now if this comes across as a rant. The attitude on Twitter yesterday and for much of this season towards fans that don't go each week has left a really bad taste in my mouth. Comments like, if you're not there, you're not proper Charlton, were topped by numerous ones yesterday, wishing that the plastics hadn't been there and stayed away in the future. Espana Addict did a great job of responding to them on Twitter, but I was interested to hear your views, as I feel this issue needs airing as we grow as a club as well. I mean, yeah, that's clearly a fair point from Dave. If we want more people to come, then we can't have people saying, oh, you're plastic, you shouldn't be here if you haven't been recently.
It's almost a form of snobbery, I guess, but I sort of see an argument for both sides, and for me there aren't plastic. There isn't such a thing as a plastic fan. It's just fans who can come week in, week out, and fans who can't, and that's just the nature of the beast. I thought it's much more of an issue when you're in something like the Premier League, because I call them tourists, not plastics. You know, people who just come, and they're actually coming to watch the opposition rather than Charlton, and they're the ones that I'm not overly bothered with come back or not. But, you know, everybody has to be a fan and start being a fan at some point, at some time in their life, and that can be when they're 5 or 6 or when they're 50. You know, it can be any age, can't it? So, and if it if the point is that the experience has got to be good enough, not just the game, although it helps, but because how many people do you know whose first game Charlton actually won? And I don't know that many. I mean, my first game we lost.
Yeah, statistically, it's unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. I got hooked on live football that just happened to be Charlton. Mm. And then Charlton just, you know, gets into your bloodstream after that. Yeah. So, no, I'm not a huge fan of the term plastics. I get some people will get the ump because, you know, if they do it too many times and you've bought a season ticket, it looks like they're getting in cheaper than you are. So I get that can be an argument at some point. But, you know, and I think a lot of people get wound up because we just generally tend to not win on these sorts of games. And so you've got a culmination of frustration that the game isn't very good, we lose, and you have to swipe out at something, and it just happens to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly that. Right, Mark says, evening chaps, finally dried out and reflecting on the game. A lot of effort for no reward, no help from an inept referee and Lino. How they missed Naby's handball in the second half was beyond me. But Blackburn did a good job, as Bo said. Second half was better. But I would have taken Lockyer off. Felt Pierce covered him for too many mistakes in times in the first half, and Hemed should have come off as well. There's no chemistry or understanding between him and Lyle Taylor. Lyle found himself out wide far too many times when we did have the ball. There wasn't anyone lurking inside the box. We were better in the second half, but that wasn't hard. What we did well against Forest, we did badly against Rovers. I think only Cullen and Doughty had good games, but too many were having 5 out of 10 games at the moment. Great to see the place full again, but sad to see a few idiots like the two sat next to me. I hope they weren't your twins, Mark. They said, one of whom punched me in the back as we were leaving. Oh, that's a shame. Sorry to hear that, Mark. Stewards stood ignoring their offensive behaviour all game. They're not welcome here. I personally can't understand the negativity of some who bemoan the £5 tickets. It will encourage more people, even if we get another 100. That's 100 more than we would have had. It's a six-pointer next week. Tom saying, could it be a blessing in disguise yesterday? It would be easy to consider ourselves safe had we won yesterday, but we wouldn't be. Saturday is huge and no need to panic. It's in our hands. I do wish we'd get we'd got another centre-back during the window, though, as Lockyer looks tired, and we're never going to go with Saar and Pierce as the two centre-halves. It might just be me, but I don't think that Boya trust Deji at centre-back for whatever reason. Fourth from bottom is a success. Let's remember that and enjoy the ride that is the rest of the this season. Anthony says, hi guys, great show, keep it up, thanks again. I just want to say I found it astounding the amount of criticism that ESI have come in for their lack of investment during January. Comments blaming them for our current situation and others stating they don't actually own anything are naive and small-minded. The lack of investment has been an issue for the past few years. I don't think they still own the ground or the training ground yet.
And it's funny because Tom mentioned before about the summer being critical, and I tend to agree with that. But I think just before that, you've got the period whereby ESI then have got to stump up the cash for the ground and the training ground, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think that could be more critical.
Yeah, it certainly is. Right, and then Anthony goes on to talk about the players that have left, but ESI did bring in the likes of Green, Smith, McGeady, and Davis. That made sense. Yes, they could be seen as direct replacements, and yes, they're all loans, but we haven't committed to anything long-term. Bose has got the names on the list himself, and Steve Gallen would have discussed them with Matt. He said, ESI could have invested heavily, and we could still have got relegated, and then we would be saddled with a championship wage bill as a League One club. As for ESI and not owning anything, Matt have gone public on more than one occasion and stated that they have a legal obligation to buy the Valley and Sparrows Lane. Why would they invest in redeveloping the training ground if they had no intention of fulfilling that? We need to be patient and see what happens in the summer. He also adds he's not going to even start on the criticism that Dylan gets from some people on the show, other than to point out that he has the number one jersey at a championship club. And I agree 100% there with Anthony about Dylan Phillips. Yeah, I think he's very good. Dave said, why didn't we bring in an experienced coach for the defence? Wally Downs kept up Wimbledon, or maybe an ex-Charlton player, anything to stay up. That could make a difference, I guess.
Interesting point.
I imagine Bo's quite happy with the coaching setup he's got, which is probably why he's got Jacko now tied up. But it's not a bad idea when we are shipping a lot of goals at the moment. Mike says, I can't help but question him why after working out that we wanted a fourth man in midfield, we went with three new players out of the four when Oz was on the bench. Why did we go with the new lad and not Oz Tuma yesterday? I mean, it's hard in hindsight. You know, maybe it was a fitness thing. Maybe he just thought McGeady could be more.
I've got to be honest, it was a surprise to me when Smith came on and not Ostermer, if I'm honest. It did surprise me a little bit. But then it's because I don't know Smith that much. I haven't seen him play enough, so I don't know what he can and can't bring. And maybe yesterday was probably not the right fixture to judge him on.
Yeah, right. Doogie says that we didn't get the breaks on a tough day. Blackburn adapted better to the conditions. Would like Prattley and Falutin, an old head on older shoulders. Feel like he's...
young legs, though.
Yeah.
Young shoulders, old head.
Yeah. Feels like he's a better option than Davis. Two massive games coming up. We need to win at least one. Destiny is still in our hands. Hopefully Williams will be available for Saturday. Let's keep the faith. Right, let's hear from a Charlton legend, Bob Boulder. It's been in and around the club for, 35 years now as a player, involved with hospitality on match days and, of course, working for the Community Trust as well. He was speaking to Terry at the 80s evening here at the Valley a few weeks ago, talking about his connection with the club that, like I say, goes back nearly 35 years.
I signed for Charlton in 86, obviously. But I had a couple of clubs in there, obviously, when I was 80, Sheffield Wednesday, and then went to Liverpool, Sunderland, but obviously Charlton, 86, and right through to 94.
Yeah. Now, for those who don't know, because we've spoken to you on many occasions, and you've been around the Valley, and people know you're still around the Valley, so your history is almost woven into this place.
But, well, that's nice,
You arrived after the club left. Did it feel strange? I mean, obviously, your playing days in the early part of being at the club was at Sellers Park. Was there a sense even back then that it wasn't quite right?
Well, not really. I've got to be honest. At the start, for the first year, I was probably a bit selfish that I was just trying to get my career back together. Really, so I would have played anywhere, as in any ground a club had me, I'd have played. But that's nothing to take away what Charlton done. They signed me, and I was, because I had such a couple of years out not playing, so my focus was to get back in the first team and to play. So it was very selfish. But then obviously, once we had our first season and we got in the playoffs, and then the build up towards the playoffs, I think then I got a taste of how important it was, you know, and the fans, and I suppose that we're in the first division, when the underdogs thing was something I always like fighting against, and we were in that position. So and then the playoffs, and lucky enough we won that, and then we cracked on from there, really.
Now, probably you would have been involved, I would say, in two of the most important games in this club's history. The 87 playoff final against Leeds.
Yeah.
And the replay, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Which,
yeah,
arguably, if we hadn't come out of that on top, may not have then gone on to us getting back to the Valley at all. Because obviously, if we'd have got relegated then, the word is, and the consensus is, we'd have struggled then, and not have had the backing to get back to the Valley.
Well, that's what it was. Obviously, it was all that. It was a struggle all the time, obviously, at Selhurst Park. And I think all the fans knew it. And obviously, Roger Orrin and all the directors that were there, they knew how hard it was and how massively important it was to stay up in the first division that first season. For obviously financial reasons, and obviously winning the playoffs was massive, and that's probably, for me, it's probably the most important game, was because it's all about survival, wasn't it? And had we got relegated, we don't really know what would have happened. Obviously, the Charlton fans were magnificent, and they stayed with us all the time. But would we have still been at Selhurst Park, or would we have had to go looking for somewhere else? Because I think it was something like probably $250,000 a season just to rent the old and hire the stadium, Selhurst Park. So, you don't know, second division, would we ever touch that, you know? But well, thankfully,
like,
we didn't, yeah.
Sounds like peanuts now, but back then, of course.
Everything was all just really massive money, you know? And then I think even when the playoffs, I don't even think the club got that much money out of it, really, to be honest. But obviously, that. Over the long period, the bigger picture was we were going to gain some money from staying in the first division, which we did obviously for the first 4 years, you know.
But then, as somebody who's been at the club for two of the most important periods of our history, obviously getting back to the Valley,
one of those periods.
And you're lucky enough, but because you deserve the place there, to be part of that side that got back in.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, we knew once we went in the second division, we went to Upton Park, obviously we played over there, and it was always on the lads' minds about, obviously, it was always, we knew we had a fair idea we were going to go back to the Valley sometime. And it was something that was playing on your mind. He just didn't want to be injured, you know, and the build-up to the game and stuff. He wanted to make sure that he was going to be involved in the game, really, because we knew how big it was for everybody and what a fanfare it was going to be coming back. And even though it was all port cabins and stuff, it didn't really matter, you know, so we adjusted so well. And obviously the icing on the cake and all that was winning the game 1-0, and which was always played on the lads' mind. We didn't want to lose it, you know. If we drew, then fair enough, but we didn't want to lose our first game coming back to the Valley.
Did you manage to divorce the occasion from
yeah, I think we done. Yeah, I think we done really well. Yeah, I think I don't think we changed anything different than build up. I think we all drove up from our homes and stuff, and all came up. But obviously. Actually, it was just sort of a very professional set with Curbs and Gritty in charge in it. And obviously, Keith was involved at the time as well. So we just focused on just doing the job. So we knew we were playing quite well anyway. So I think we had a bit of confidence about it.
So just short of 250 games, I think, wasn't it, in total?
Well, 296 total with all the cup games. Yeah. I don't want to be, you know, particular, but, you know, it's a 296.
It's a decent amount of games. And I think your presence at the club, as you played, you had that character about you, which you still got, of course.
Yeah.
You enjoyed yourself, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the underdog thing is always, you know, like a fight against. So I don't think being at the top of the league all season really suited us. But obviously, so we'll build our way up. And we had a great, I think we had a great bunch of lads, and we all... throughout my time, really, and we've got some good young ones came through at the same time, and it was nice to help them in the training and the way we sort of behaved ourselves. We had a good bunch of pros, and it was great. So obviously 87 was the one, and then 92 back to the Valley, And then obviously 93 was really my last season playing wise, so because I got injured another year out, then I had to retire in 94 and that. But yeah, it was, the whole thing was great, and obviously the yeah, we still had closeness to the fans, which is really nice, you know. It wasn't like any separation. So when we came off, obviously the portal cabins all in the car park with the, wasn't even a players bar, it was just everybody piling in, between 200 and 400 in the bar after, and we're all still close together, yeah. So it was nice, yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, yeah. You're obviously, you're still around the valley, you're still here, and
yeah,
on a match day, people can still see you smiling.
Yeah, it's great, yeah, it's lovely, you know.
Is it difficult to comprehend what it was like when you first came back to what it is now?
Well, yeah, obviously, the whole place has been built up. So lucky enough, I've been here to see it all, really. So I started, obviously, hospitality on match days. I started probably, I think it was about 96, I think, when we had portal cabins and all that and everything. So then we, you know, we got promoted to the first division, the Premier League. And our first season, it was all in like a building was going on, and then we had sponsors in. But these lounges, all concrete and stuff,
people
and everything.
See you on
match
day, but you're not just here on match days. You do a lot of work for the trust.
I'm still full time for the trust, community trust, and I've been involved in that for probably the last 22, 23 years as well, which suits me. It's better than working.
Can you put your finger on what it is about Charlton that keeps in the blood and keeps you here, as opposed to
think it's a people thing. I think it's just all the people, and players come back and we see familiar faces and. It's a fan thing, I think. When I came to Charlton, we had a lot of people over the training ground, you know, who were pure Charlton, born and bred in Charlton. And, you know, they sort of, the comments and what they used to say and everything like that, it sort of implanted in mind how important Charlton was. And obviously, historically, it was a massive club anyway, as in crowd-wise. So I think it's a people's game, isn't it? And obviously, the playoff that we went to end of last season, getting promotion, was just amazing. Yeah, it was probably 50,000 all red and white at the end singing, and it was it was really party atmosphere. It was a wonderful. No, for me, I enjoyed that more than the 98 one. You know, yeah. So I just felt it was more important to get back in, because we've been sort of away from everything for a while, and to get back in the Championship and be on the telly more, and just people talking about us more, and yeah, I think it's brilliant. Yeah, you know, it's more publicity and media. And it's good to be back in that, you know.
There we go, Bob Boulder here to end the show on this evening's Charlton Live. We had Sebo mentioned that he was one of the lucky fans where they won his first game and won it handsomely, which is good. That might be what kept him coming back, because he hasn't left since. Amy says we won her first game as well, Terry. 1-0 at Norwich it was, Bradley Allen.
She says, talking nonsense.
Yeah, she says, guess she's special, and I have to say she's special.
I'm not saying a word.
As my fiancé, by the way. I'm not like just flirting outrageously with random, random listeners. Nathan, yeah, only when Nathan's here. Right, we've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who've got involved. Thanks to Bob Boulder there, who we heard from at the end, and Lee Bowie, of course, for speaking to Terry yesterday. Thanks to Tom and Terry for being here.
Cheers, mate.
We'll be back here on Thursday evening with a big match preview to look ahead to what can only be described as a mahoosive game against Luton Town next Saturday. So make sure you join us here on Thursday. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to tonight's Charlton Live, and we shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free.
That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.